This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Wednesday, June 3rd, 2009. I'm Caleb Brown. What about Ford, Toyota, Honda, Volkswagen, BMW, Kia, Nissan? And all the talk about rescuing GM and Chrysler from a standard-issue bankruptcy. It may be easy to forget that the bulk of auto manufacturing in the United States is neither GM nor Chrysler. Dan Eikenson, Associate Director of the Cato Institute's Center for Trade Policy Studies, comments.
Yeah, we hear from President Obama that he wants to take a hands-off approach and that this is temporary and they're going to get in and out, but it's just absolutely impossible. Not only implausible, but impossible. U.S. taxpayers have a 60% stake in GM right now. The government has every incentive in the world now to show the electorate that they didn't make a mistake and that the taxpayers are going to get a return here. So that means policy is going to be invoked that incentivizes consumers to purchase GM products instead of, say, Ford. I think policies will be in place that hamstring the competition to GM, that raise the costs of GM's competition, that subsidize the consumption of GM products. And I think that bodes poorly for Ford. And regrettably, at some point, they might reach the conclusion that, you know, we've been going it alone. We haven't asked for any money yet. But we're just not going to be able to continue to compete with a national treasury that that doesn't have any end to its spending.
This conversation didn't really get a lot of play. Even when the initial round of auto bailout money went around, there was very little consideration for Ford or other auto manufacturers that produce cars in the United States. When it seems like the time at which the government was putting money into Chrysler and GM was about the time that Toyota and Ford should have been picking over the carcass of that company anyway.
That's right. I mean, that's the way competition is supposed to work. The companies that have inefficient cost structures, that make bad decisions, that offer consumers products they don't want to purchase. I'm speaking here of GM and Chrysler. They should atrophy. They should yield market share. They should lose business. And the more successful firms, those who are more efficient, those who produce the products people want to buy, should get a larger slice of the pie. They should be the firms leading us forward. It's an evolutionary process here. But politicians seem to draw a distinction between the big three and the other auto producers that are operating here, the BMWs, the Toyotas and Hondas and Kias and Volkswagens. They are every bit as much American. They're employing American workers. They are paying taxes. They're supporting local businesses and local communities. But we have to, for some reason, politicians feel the need to make this distinction. And we're throwing good money after bad with respect to GM. One of the big problems here is in the year 2000, GM was at its peak value. Its market capitalization was about $60 billion. Today, the U.S. Taxpayer has $50 billion invested in GM. In order to make taxpayers whole without earning any return, the company's going to need to be valued at $80 billion. That's a 33% increase from its peak in the heady days of 2000. That's not going to happen next year or the year after, or many, many years from now. So I think there is an incentive for the government to stay involved, particularly since GM is being used as a vessel to convert our economy from a carbon-based economy to a renewables-based one. And regardless of what it costs, I don't see the government giving up on this project.
As I discussed earlier with Jeffrey Miron, the government, through President Obama, says they would like to take a hands-off approach, but even by taking this company through a bankruptcy, firing the CEO, making decisions about where certain cars are going to be manufactured, be it in China or the United States, already made a bunch of key decisions. And by taking this company through a special bankruptcy, the unions took a smaller haircut and bondholders took a bigger haircut than otherwise would have occurred.
Yes, the government, to the government, a hands-off approach means you can produce whatever you want, wherever you want, as long as there are small cars made in U.S. factories paying labor, 30% above the going rate nationally. We have a problem here in the sense that the UAW contract expires in 2 years. will be right at the beginning of the 2012 election campaign. And if the puppet management of GM drives a hard bargain with labor, and labor doesn't like it, I don't see why labor isn't going to go straight over their heads to President Obama and say, excuse me, we have an election coming up. We want a better deal. We've already seen the administration promise the unions that the new GM will not be importing small cars from its facilities abroad to give scope for GM to build up its market here and to produce here. There are lots of political decisions that are going to be implemented ostensibly to the benefit of GM, but that is ultimately sabotaging the auto market and our capitalist system.
In the bailout, in the stimulus, and the auto bailout, the chief argument for doing it is avoiding a fate worse than if we don't do this.
Right.
I mean, that's always the argument. Well, how credible is that?
Well, the argument for intervention was based on the assumption that the government could come in and prevent job loss. Really, at the end of the day, that's the only thing that matters to politicians. Had GM declared bankruptcy, entered Chapter 11 back in October, before the whole process was politicized, I think we'd be better off than we are today. We would have found buyers. The assets would have been purchased by other companies, and we could be at the same stage that we are at now with the taxpayers not really being on the hook. But taxpayers are on the hook now, and we're closing 14 of 47 plants in the United States. It's going to be quite a lot of job loss there. We're closing hundreds of dealerships across the country. There's going to be job losses there as well. This could have happened through the bankruptcy process without the government being involved and committing taxpayers to supporting GM from here to eternity.
Dan Eikenson is Associate Director of the Cato Institute Center for Trade Policy Studies. Read more of his work at cato.org.